I was out of town this week and returned to see the painting in this church completed. I want to thank you. Your generosity made it possible. I'm grateful for the Knights of Columbus. They painted the lower level where it's easy to stand and move with a paintbrush. And we had professionals work from the ceiling on down. I walked in Thursday night, flipped the lights on and looked, and I thought very quickly of Francis of Assisi. In that church of Assisi when he lived, he walked in. Nobody there. And he heard a voice. A voice that said, "Rebuild my church." Now that church needed more than just a facelift on the inside. It needed a lot of construction and reconstruction. And so Francis went about that work, finished it, and came in the church and very quietly offered it back to God in thanks, offered it back as a gift. And he still heard that voice, "Rebuild my church. Rebuild my church." He soon discovered, as the voice continued to speak, that the voice of God was speaking about those who occupy the church, that there was some rebuilding needed at that time in human history. And people in Francis's time were left with a choice: either be part of the solution or be part of the problem. And there was a lot at stake back then. Be part of the solution or stay part of the problem. Our current Pope took on that name, Francis. He's been about the same kind of work, rebuilding the church, not the structure, not the buildings, as magnificent as they are, as in need of repair that some of them are. He's been about the work of rebuilding the church from the inside. Himself, his advisors, clergy, and people. That's you, that's me. He's been to our country this week, and I was telling somebody before Mass, this has been probably one of the hardest homilies to prepare for, because he just keeps sending us messages. Right now, he's in a prison talking to prisoners. This afternoon, he'll say more about family life. He's talked to the homeless and to the men and women who have a lot of power and influence. In all of it, he's saying that he is looking for missionary disciples. Missionary disciples that follow upon those disciples that Moses chose, that were doing work outside of the 12. Moses needed help. And so 70 people are chosen. They didn't have theology degrees. A couple of them didn't even show up to the commissioning ceremony. Joshua's a little jealous about that. But Moses says, no, it's not about me. It's not about us as a small group. It's about all of us together. I think Pope Francis is saying the same thing, that you and I are to be missionary disciples. Like him, he wants us to go to the outskirts, go to those living on the outskirts, and go reflecting a life of a loving God, a life lived in response to a loving God. Our Holy Father's calling us to see everybody, especially the least among us, as our sisters and brothers, those imprisoned, those living on the streets, those in need of a lot. He's telling us to preserve the dignity of every human being and come with compassion. The thing needed to come with a compassion is a heart that's open to receive that compassion and be filled with it enough to continue to give it to others. You and I are called to be missionary disciples. There's a lot that's going to be said about it. I want to leave you with just three quick thoughts. One, it starts in the family. Two, it goes to community. And three, to be a missionary disciple, be aware of the ways you might create scandal. A word about each. We'll hear more tonight and tomorrow about the need to and how to strengthen families. I would love to hear from you about what's needed here in our community to strengthen family life. I bet you know what it is, and I'd love to hear, and my staff would, so that we can gather you together and respond to the needs here. I know our young are telling us about needs. I know research is starting to reveal some of those needs, but I bet there's more. Our young are yearning to hear from you and me why we believe what we believe, why we live what we live, why Eucharist is so important. I remember growing up saying, do I have to go to church? Now as a priest, I say I get to go to church. But a lot of people, including my parents, assisted me in that journey. Our young are looking for that from their parents and then from the rest of us. Why is what we do so important? They're yearning to hear it. In fact, fathers, the number one indicator whether or not a child will live a life of faith as they move into their teenage years and adult years is whether or not a dad takes them to church. Dads, oh, our role as fathers are so important. And that's just one example. Parents, the young are yearning to enter into discussions with us, conversations about our moral life, our spiritual life, about our God, about what comes out of Scripture. Research says in most families, for a lot of reasons, God's not talked about. Only about 34% of Catholic families throughout the country talk about God in the home. And yet there's a yearning, a hunger to know. Only 6% talk weekly. It's why we're, in part, why we're doing the homily series, to give you information to talk about, discuss in the course of a week, to go deeper into these scriptures. There's so much more, but I'll leave it there for right now. What can we do among ourselves to strengthen family and family life, marriage, and discipleship? How can we take it into the community, secondly? How can we take it out to our neighbors, to our friends, to our workplace? Pope Francis walked to a homeless shelter in Washington, D.C., and he says to those he was serving, he said, you know, our God was born homeless too. You are not alone. And I just come to bring that message. Friends, you don't have to be a pope to do that. You can carry that message. I can carry that message to those in our community and those we meet on the streets who don't have a home to go to. Our God is with you, and I am with you because He is. Then he said to those in authority, you can do something about it. It shouldn't be that way. Nobody should have to live on the streets. You have the ability to do something about it. Please do. Another call to community. we have the ability to do things. In our community, I'm hearing two big needs. One is housing. Some of our Christian sisters and brothers are doing some work behind the scenes looking at housing needs in our community and saying, can we make a difference to those who may not have a home to live in or struggle to get into a home? The other need I've heard has to do with the education of our young. Wayzata Schools and Orono Schools have discovered that there's a gap, an achievement gap going on. And they, along with other leaders, are taking some great steps to close that gap. There's a gap, as good as our educational system is, in Orono, Wayzata, here at Holy Name, at Providence, at Benilde, Delano, the place at Maple Grove, the different places our kids go to school. There are those who are struggling to learn, and that gap is growing. We have a responsibility. And they hope you and I and folks like us will join them. IOCP is kind of the community leader engaged in those conversations. And they're leading us, inviting us to be a part of it with them. In addition to those great needs, there are those who are in need of hope. We come needing hope some weeks. Those coming in need of healing. Those who need the wrongs of their life righted. Those who are hoping that we'll promote their well-being. And I'll bet there are other ways too. I'd love to hear from you so that in turn, together, we can be focused on the other. Because a missionary disciple is always one who walks to somebody, doesn't wait for them to come. Perhaps lastly, how important it is to look into our own lives, to examine our own lives. At the end of this wonderful teaching, our Lord starts talking about scandals. He said, if you're not part of the solution, you might be part of the problem. And that might give rise to scandal to somebody. And if something's giving rise to scandal, cut it off. And I want to say real clearly, the Lord was not speaking literally. I think you know that. But every once in a while, I'm questioned about that. So when he says, cut a hand off, he doesn't mean it literally. But what he does mean is, what are we touching? Are we touching things that feed our greed or feed our lust or feed the violence in society? That's what needs to be cut off. Yeah, there are all kinds of social problems. But could an individual be engaged in that? Yeah. Be aware of where your feet take you. Are your feet taking you to places that lead to sin or lead others to sin or more temptation than they can handle? If that's the case, allow yourself to be redirected. Our eyes can be the doorway to so many things. To the beauty of another individual, to the beauty of creation. But our eyes can be the doorway to sin too. It all depends on what we choose to look at and what we think and say about that or who we look at. And if it's leading us away from the Lord, knock it out of our lives. See, it's our heart and it's our mind that are the source of sin. But things can lead us there. And so, our Lord invites us to a good examination, a private one, as well as the examinations that are needed publicly. Scandals in the church, scandals in society, actions that hurt people, either an individual or a community in a world. Our Holy Father spoke about that this morning too, because it needs to be spoken about so that the scandals depart from us. evil always loses its power when it comes to light. God, who does he think he is? Oh, he's a God who desires to renew our world, renew us individually, and renew our world through us. And so I truly believe he sent us this wonderful Pope, and then he sent the Pope to the States here. And aren't you renewed by what he's been saying, by what he's been doing? You are. I can see you're nodding. I have too. And so has our country. And now we get the chance to keep moving that forward in our lives, in our family here, and in this community that we're so blessed to live in. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.